few days ago, the parents of some children prepared them for school. They were happy. Children went to school, a safe place to be. The teachers were happy to see the children and teach them for the future. And all of a sudden, something terrible happened. Someone who was driving a van went through the window and landed right on top of the children. One child is dead. Few are badly injured. They had planned for a future, the parents. This little girl had a life to live, and yet her life was taken away. Life is so unpredictable. Life can be so short. Miller Quarles, an 83-year-old Texan millionaire, has one obsession: to live forever. Not as a clone, not through the children, but as himself. Life is too short, many have commented, and indicating their desire to live longer forever, have done everything they could and are doing everything they can. Moses, a great leader and a faithful man of God, while praying to God, he said, "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and fly away." Psalm 90:10. Well, thousands of years later, and after all kinds of new medical and technological discoveries and progress, our average lifespan is still in that range. Even though we live a little longer and healthier lives today, 100 years is more or less the outer limit we just wear out. People spend a lot of money. I was reading yesterday that scientists are trying so hard to make life eternal. And one of the scientists said in about 10, 15 years we'll be able to live 500, 600 years. And in about 30, 40 years we'll be living forever, eternally. Well, let's try that. The desire to live forever is still the main preoccupation for many. The search for eternal life goes on. The 60 Minutes correspondent on television, Morley Safer, talked to one scientist who says that sometimes in the next 20 or 30 years or so, we'll be able to recondition ourselves for the first steps toward immortality. Preserving the body in the hope of reviving it back to life on one day is the goal of many. Freezing the body until the secret of eternal life is found is just like you get your meat or your fish or whatever and you freeze it so you can use it later on. They want to be frozen so someday they will be able to live forever. So men and women will go through all kinds of things to be able to live forever, and others will take away their lives when they can't deal with reality. Going through religious rituals to gain eternal life. And again, you have religion. Religion has been saying that you can have eternal life by doing this, by doing that, by giving charity. And then there are other religions who say no matter what you do, what you say, you will be reborn, come back, and you'll die again, and you'll be coming back again. And the aim of that particular religion is to stop this cycle and go into eternal non-existence. Good and philanthropic works to obtain life are only some of the things people to do that do to get life forever. And this is going on now even among so-called Christian churches. They will encourage people to give so God will reward them with eternal life. There are others who will pray for the dead so they can be transferred or get eternal life in God, in the presence of God in heaven. So eternal life seems to be something that men and women are thinking of all the time. Obviously, when you reach my age, you are closer to that inevitable. But then again, as I said, a little girl of 6, 8, 9 years old has died, killed, and she's gone. So we have no way of knowing when that inevitable will happen to us. But all these attempts and activities fall short of the goal to live forever. Eternal life is a gift from God. It cannot be bought. Eternal life is given to us. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life. It's a promise. Now, if you believe that there is more to life than just birth, death, and what happens in between, and if you believe in the God of the Bible, then the important question to ask is, how do I get eternal life? The Bible says that our soul is eternal. In Ecclesiastes 3:11 we read, "He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to the end." Men and women alike have asked and still ask the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That is found in Luke 10:25. The answer comes from Jesus, who said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life." You don't have to be frozen. You don't have to be preserved with whatever. God will give you eternal life, has given us eternal life. Jesus also said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God has set before us eternal life and eternal death. Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 6:23. How do we receive this gift of life? We receive eternal life by receiving Jesus Christ. In John 1:12, we read, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in him, in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This morning I'm giving you a lot of verses. I'll be quoting a lot of verses because what I'm saying, I want it to come from the Word of God and not my own understanding of things. In 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, we read, "And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." and watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. There are those who argue that having eternal life means freedom. Freedom from the threat of apostasy, falling away, and temptations. They argue that if we have eternal life today, then why should there be the fear of temptation and the possibility of apostasy? But the Bible makes it absolutely clear that the possibility of apostasy is there. Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, warns him about that danger. He says, "Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from their faith." Jesus said to the Jews who had believed, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." It says once again, "If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." James, our Lord's earthly brother, closes his letter with the following words. "My brothers," he's speaking to the brethren, to the believers, "my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over multitudes of sin." Now, someone may ask, if it is so, then how can we have the assurance of eternal life? And I don't know about you, but I have faced or heard this question so many times. As I've shared this before with you, when I was in Armenia about a month or so ago, and I went to a church for a question and answer period, and there were all kinds of leaders. The first question that I was asked was exactly that: how can I be sure that there is no such a thing as apostasy? Meaning, how can I be sure that no matter what, I will inherit eternal life in heaven? And the Bible says that we do have the assurance of our salvation. And Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never reject him." And Jesus also taught us the prayer, a model prayer, and where he says, and forgive us our sins. So the process of a Christian's walk, the walk of a Christian who follows Christ, has very often ups and downs. There are very often times that we sin. It doesn't mean that you are going to hell. It doesn't mean you're losing your salvation if you sin, but it will mean that that is going to be the first step to denying your faith. That's what the Bible says. So, yes, we have the assurance. I accepted the Lord Jesus at the age of 12. That was a long time ago, very long time ago. And I never remember, I don't remember that I ever said I lost my salvation. But very often I thought and I knew that I had sinned and I had to make things right with God. And I had to confess my sin so I may be reconnected, if you wish. I may reestablish my union with Christ. Suppose someone has fallen into the sea, and because he does not know how to swim, he is drowning. Someone who sees him jumps into the sea and saves him. The person who was saved is very grateful, and he rejoices, and he feels safe and secure now. That's wonderful. But let us suppose, because this man feels safe and secure now, ignores the danger of drowning, and he jumps back into the sea, will those feelings of security prevent him from drowning? Of course not. To the question, how then can we have the assurance of eternal life? I will let Apostle John answer the question. He wrote in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I believe what is underlined here and highlighted is, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This morning in the adult class, someone said that faith is very important, and yet the same person said, I believe, that even the devil believes. As a matter of fact, the devil is the only personality or person that 100% faith. He knows for sure that there is God. He knows for sure there is hell. He knows for sure there is heaven. But that knowledge is not going to save that person. What saves us and gives us eternal life is to be washed by Christ. Receive eternal life and then follow him. That's what the Bible said. Whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. And because it takes faith, Apostle Paul tells the believers, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. In closing, let me share with you the words of Jude 21 and 22. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep yourselves in God's love. There is something that we must do. And Jude says, keep yourselves in God's love. We do all kinds of things. We join all kinds of classes and workshops, and we study all kinds of books. The people have studied thousands of books. People have gone to thousands of meetings. People have been to all kinds of praise activities, and yet they have not surrendered their lives to the Lord. Faith alone does not save. It's what you do with that faith. It's what do you do with that belief. As I shared this morning with a brother at the Bible class, the fact that you may have the best possible doctor, the fact that this best possible doctor has understood exactly what you need to be treated from the illness you have, and he reaches out and he gives you some pills, some medication, and says, if you take these, you'll be healed. All these you believe in. You see him doing it. And yet, if you don't take those pills, if you don't take this medication, nothing will change. You will not get any better because you believe in the doctor, because you believe in the medication. What will make you feel good and get better is what you do with the medication. We've been given the medication. We have the Word of God. We have everything we need to receive eternal life. And yet, we are so preoccupied with what other people say, what the doctrines of others are. what I say is useless unless Christ is in what I say. And what I say will not help anyone's life unless it comes from the Word of God and is accepted and put into practice. May God help us understand His Word. And may the assurance of eternal life with Him be reflected to others, so others may search and find the life giver, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the strength to be here this morning. Thank you for enabling us to hear your words. There are thousands of people who are in prison. There are thousands who have difficulties in hearing your word or understanding or even finding it. Please, Lord, touch their lives too. Be with us and strengthen us. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.